I never even really tried, but.
What do we call that?
I can't remember. We called it a school kite fly.
It was kites in the classroom.
There we go. Yep, that's it.
That is neat, though. Okay, so we're live. Good morning. Welcome to the March 19th edition of the Moral Bay City Promotions Committee. First day as chair, very exciting. We do miss David, though, so spread the word. I'd like to call the meeting to order, and we do have public comments. So Jenny, come on up.
Good morning, Promotions Committee. Once again, the dogs have sent me, this time to announce the Best of Bay Pooch Pageant, which will be held Sunday, May 10th at the City Park in Morro Bay from 3 to 5 p.m. Yes, that is Mother's Day. There are colored flyers all around town and on your table as well. So please join us. The small $5 entry fee will go 100% towards the Mutt Mitt program for Morro Bay. And it's a really fun event for both you and your dog. So please join us on Mother's Day, Best of Bay Pooch Pageant. I also am here on behalf of the Morro Bay Dog Friendly Business Network. There is a deadline for submission to be participating in this network. It is free to join. My phone number is hopefully on the screen. That is 234-7279. If you are a business that is dog friendly, in that you allow dogs in your business, or you have a doggy treat bowl or a water bowl, or you provide poop bags or a place to tie your dog up, or you have patio dining or dog friendly hotel rooms, this is for you to join for free. It will be a published brochure with all the dog-friendly businesses in our community. And the goal for this organization, which I hope becomes very strong and goes into the future, is that we, at some time soon, in the next year or couple years, that we become one of the five businesses that is recognized annually by AAA magazine Westways as top five dog-friendly towns of Morro Bay. They do a huge spread, it's like a 10-page spread, and it's a cover article in one of their monthly magazines. Annually they do this. And then, of course, a dog-friendly town is a town that's friendly to most everybody. So please, if you're a business owner, please heed the call. Have your submission in to me by April 20th. And then the brochure will be published by the Best of Bay Pooch Pageant. And if you want to participate as a sponsor of the Business Network, you'll get an ad in the program for the Pooch Pageant. So that's why I'm here today, to promote these exciting dog-friendly activities. And thank you for allowing me this time. Do you have any questions? No? Great. Nope. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jenny. Okay, moving on from public comment, the approval of the minutes.
I would like to acknowledge my promotion as vice mayor. Thank you very much. I don't know whether you want to correct that or not. I think I'll keep my mouth shut. Does everyone see that in the first one?
Yep.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So yeah, we can make that change. Were there any other changes that needed to be made?
Well, other than that, then I'll move that we accept the minutes as with the correction.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Susan. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Moving on to the monthly reports. Peter, good morning.
Well, good morning. We're moving right along, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
I like it. Well, good morning, everyone. You have the report in front of you. And it's pretty, you know, as usual, it's self-explanatory, but I'll go through it. The first, I believe you have the first page is the little pie diagram of the telephone calls, the 800 numbers. You see a total of 48, coastal 4, central 17, southern 16, and northern These are from, and you can see from in comparison, the top is the number of phone calls from February 08 to February 09. Our calls were down a little bit from 952 in February of 08 to 700 in February 09. And again, we can contribute, you know, a lot of that to our website and the you know, the efficiency now of technology that you can get just about any information you want on our website, and it's really getting a lot of we're getting a lot of responses through the website. I might add too, while we're talking about that, is looks like we're going to have our webcam up, should be installed today, as I understand, and it's not just the webcam. Is that right, Bob?
No, if I can make a correction, because I'm here at this meeting right now, the webcam is not going up today, but it'll be going up tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow will work for me, too.
Very good, sir.
Thank you, Bob, for all your hard work. And it has a large bandwidth. If you remember, the reason why I went down to begin with is because we had so many hits, it just kind of crashed itself, which is, you know, kind of a good thing. In a way that we have a whole lot of folks coming in. But recognizing that, because there was some frustration with getting on and you had to wait a long time, now, because of the bandwidth, we'll be able to facilitate a whole lot more. And there will be as soon as that word gets out, you'll see a spike of and a continual rise of more people hitting our website, because that's exactly what happened when we did it years ago. So we'll see it. We'll get our people back, and we'll see more and more people going onto that page. So just something to watch for. Total visitors, looking at February of 08, 1299, and down a little bit in February of 09 of 1221. Sure doesn't seem like it because we are busy. There's so many people coming in, even in our off-season like this. A lot of foreign visitors are coming in. Our book seems to be filled with, and not really from a lot of, not from one or two of the European countries, but actually a variety. Right, Ed? Have you seen, yes. We've seen them come in.
Yes, many Europeans.
Yeah, it's you know, and I don't know. I guess the euro has a lot to do with it too, and the traveling makes it more, you know, beneficial for them to come over financially. And we'll go through some of the others. Pretty consistent with the promotional mailings, the tourist packs and relocation packs. You can see a total of 93 there, and fulfillment. You can see the difference there. My goodness, fulfillment. From all of the advertisements that we have, 776 were sent out in February. That's a lot. And, of course, the using the 800 numbers, there were 9. Any questions about that? There's a whole list of things I wanted to go over with up-and-coming events and issues like that.
Ed kind of just pointed out to me that really travel in 50 and beyond has gone up.
Seriously,
know, I mean,
huh?
Year to date.
Seriously, yeah.
Right.
Well,
but, I mean, that's pretty good.
And probably John can put some insight into that. But it's all about advertising.
The same size ad?
Well, we vary the ad size, but I think that I was just going to mention with travel. First of all, I apologize for being tardy. I think it's the first time in 10 years that I need a tardy slip.
We didn't even notice, John.
Sorry. Yeah. I shouldn't have said anything. I think that since Travel 50 and Beyond is our really only national outreach that we have, everything else is directed towards Southern California and Northern California, I think those, I was just going to mention that I think those other responses we get are probably related to that, or it could possibly be from somebody writing about us, but I think the Travel 50 and Beyond's work real well.
It's obviously,
you know, we're actually getting a lot of response with the Photo Expo from the local folks have been coming in and very, very excited about being part of this. Phil May, we're meeting with him on the 30th, and we're going to have an agenda getting things started with that. Looks very enthusiastic. A lot of folks really want to see this happen. I think this could be just huge, mm-hmm. Absolutely huge.
I have some things to show you under my report on that.
Yeah, excellent. Great. Excellent. We'll go into that. Let me get into some of the stuff. There's a mixer tonight, number one. It's the Central Coast Lending Group on Moore Bay Boulevard. That's 601. That's the Reed Building. That's 537, as every mixer that we that we have, the third Thursday of every month. March 26th is a PTA Del Mar open house and ribbon cutting. So if you can make that, and I believe that's at 5 o'clock. Wasn't sure, 5 or 5:30. April 2nd through the 19th is the Tall Ship Links. They have an extended stay every year, so we're always looking forward for the tall ships that come in. They stimulate a lot of interest, and a lot of folks come downtime. There's, you know, there's 1,000, 1,200 kites out there on a Friday. So that's very, very exciting. So we're introducing the county into this now, where they can participate by buying at our cost the kites and then having their own assembly, and then we'll just give them the CD of our program. And then at the same time, the old idea is to stimulate everyone into coming out on the following day for our parade and our kite festival. Remember, go ahead.
Peter, I was going to just add one quick thing. I've been meaning to talk to you about this. My son goes to Del Mar, and he's participated both years. And last year, when he came home, he said, "Mom, why did they have me build a brand new one? I should have brought mine from last year. That would have been a better recycling option." And so I don't know if that's something you thought of in the schools, but he's very into conservation, and he has both of his kites. He would love to bring his...
As all of them, and it's the option if they want to bring their own kite or mm-hmm. you know, I think most of this the excitement comes when you make your kite.
It does,
and
yeah.
and so it's okay if they still have their kite they can bring it. If mm-hmm. they're conscious about that, they don't have to put one together. Mm-hmm. They just bring it into that day. We kind of leave it up to them and to the teachers to do that.
So the teacher's the one that does it. Okay.
Yeah, and it's fine. I think it's a great idea, but you know it's nice to because we put together 2,000 kites during this
kites.
Couple of days. So it's just a lot of things going on there, a lot of string. And of course, the next day is the Discover Your Better Nature Parade. This year, bigger and better. We still have our Porsche car. They're called bathtubs, I guess, Porsche bathtubs. They're coming again this year. There's about 20, I know. Dusty, that's the head of the guy, said there's 500 in his organization. And I said, well, hold off on the 500 just yet. But, you know, the parade, we might facilitate a little bit more. So I think he's going to, as this goes on, he's going to develop a little more involvement. Great guy, too, when you see all of their Porsches. And, of course, we have just a variety of things, dancers. And I mean, it's just pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to that. And it looks like the city is going to be repaving that street, so it'll be kind of an unveiling of a pretty cool new street with a parade on it. I kind of like that idea. And, of course, our kite festival itself is on the 25th, the very next day, right after the parade, about 11 o'clock, 11:30. The Salinian Indians will do the prayer of the winds. Hopefully this year we'll actually have wind. But, you know, watch what you wish for because we could have too big of a gust, too. So something in between would be very nice. So we'll see how all that goes. And then right after that, we got Cruising Car Show. Holy cow, that's right out the week after that. That's the May 1st and the 3rd. And then a month after that is the music festival. So we're kicking into our events year, and there's just no looking back because for the chamber and for the rest of the organizations, it starts with the kite festival, so to speak, and then it goes until New Year's Eve. And it won't stop, and there's nothing in between. Our break is over. We're full steam ahead. So the chamber and the rest of the organizations are working extremely hard to do all this. Now, if I can, I just want to take a couple more minutes. Yesterday we had a small business networking breakfast. There was about 50 people who showed up. The subject matter, very serious, very important things that every business should be aware of. And it's the ADA, it's the labor laws, it's the insurance. For all of these folks, we had three experts, Don Double D with the ADA, and he is the expert in the ADA process. He has put together a pamphlet if people want to evaluate their building for compliancy. It's so important because we do have, unfortunately, another gentleman with the same attorney, a Molsky's attorney, coming our way. They started in San Francisco, and they're going through the same map as they did before. Wouldn't it be nice if they came into Morro Bay and found nothing? The chamber is very active about
getting the information out. There's no reason in the world why you can't get a compliancy update on your building. All you have to do is call and make an appointment. It's that simple. At least have it in the process, and if they do come, then it mitigates a lot of the seriousness of the lawsuit. So make sure we do that. Another thing, whenever the state has business has a budget crunch or a budget problem, what do they go to? They go to alternative revenues. That is fines. The basics are there. You know, if you don't have the labor sign with the thing filled out in the center and you have employees, you can be fined a serious amount of money. This is money that wasn't there before, and they will come after it. So please, if you have any doubt at all, we have them for sale at our cost, everything that you need to be compliant with the HR laws. So please don't hesitate. Then we had a speaker guy in this of mitigating some of the problems, and we have a lot of partners, you know, including the SBA, the SBDC, the Cuesta College Business Assistance, and on and on and on. All these folks are our partners, and we can help in a lot of ways. So when you see the chamber reps go out there and do their surveys, you know, give them the 15 minutes it takes to go through this. It might make a huge difference in your business. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Okay, moving on to our budget report. Unfortunately, it does appear that our TOT was down in January again. I think it's just obviously a sign of the times and everything that's happening. And John is circulating his budget.
Heather, I wanted to make sure that the board knew that the January numbers should have the two asterisks. Indicating that we still have a couple of motels that haven't turned in a receipt. So just so you know, those asterisks should be extended down through January.
When are they expected to turn them in?
We're currently working with them.
Andrea, one question on that. When those figures do come in, will they be put in the month in which they were collected or in the months that they were supposed to be collected?
I would think we'd put them in the months they were supposed to be collected. Okay. So we have a current comparison from year to year.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Are there any questions on the TOT or any comments?
I had a question for Michelle. Michelle, from other meetings that I've attended, a lot of the hoteliers were saying that everything's last minute. Is that what you're experiencing?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. In fact, the other night we had something like 20 walk-ins at one of our properties on a Saturday. And, yeah, we looked dead. I mean, we looked totally quiet, and you start lowering the rates. You know, it's been interesting. I've been home. I'm sure a lot of you know I've been home a little bit with the baby, and I've been watching, you know, the Today Show every morning, and it's really interesting. They have a travel section every day about budget traveling and how to travel on a budget, and I know we've talked about this a million times, and I think I saw it somewhere on the agenda or something about the staycation things, and they really push this a lot, and this is national, so I think, though, I tend to kind of believe, you know, we're very socialists, and we kind of follow what the trends and stuff. A lot of them have been going to Ireland, of course, with St. Paddy's Day. But it's interesting to watch just from a different perspective, mm-hmm. from being at work, you know, all day and not watching too much TV to kind of watching a little bit of TV and what the trends are. And, you know, people are wanting to still travel, and they're wanting to travel just on budgets, mm-hmm. and they're wanting those all-inclusive. But it's very last minute. And with the weather, especially in California, you know, if it's sunny, the walk-ins peak. If we're not sunny, the walk-ins are really kind of slow. And it's hard because as a hotelier, you're all about supply and demand. So you lower your rates to try and entice people in. And so that, I think, is a reflection, too, of the monies that are coming in because we are getting less. I will guarantee you the ADRs are down probably across the boards because people go in, they look at their books. Oh, I've got 5 people in books or 10 or whatever. And then all of a sudden you start getting these walk-ins, but you've got your bar has been set lower with the rates. I still see a lot of our reports, and even though I'm doing a lot of work from home and I talk to staff all the time, and it is very last minute, which is hard sometimes too because that takes more time, and it's just a little bit of some logistic issues too because the staff member said, yeah, there was just the lobby full of people checking in, wanting rooms.
Are you finding too that this is something else that I thought was interesting? A lot of hoteliers, this is in Pismo and some other places that we do work with, that they want to negotiate.
Oh, definitely. And that's what's really big on the Today Show. The Today Show flat out tells people, bargain with them, and they will go down on their rates. And don't take no for an answer. And, you know, and it's interesting because people are coming in and they're wanting. So my staff kind of starts high and then they it's like you're a car salesman. You know what I mean? Like when we train or hire people, we tell them, are you good at sales? You know, are you good at negotiating? Do you like to do garage? It's like a garage sale. You know, you try to get the bottom dollar and you're going back and forth. Well, I'll give you this. I'll give you that. And that's what it's turned into. It's turned into a game. It's really interesting.
I think that's true from my experience with other clients and other businesses too, that this is sort of the trend right now. It's everything is negotiable.
Yeah.
And policies that existed 6 months ago are gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been really, there's always been a little bit of that, but you know, you kind of still stuck to your grounds, you know. Now you're, like you said, all rules are off, and you just kind of, whatever you can get, you get them in, and you try to get them to stay. And so it's kind of sad because in Morro Bay we have so many hotels, so everybody's kind of playing the game, and unfortunately it's just cheapening the product a little bit, which is a little frustrating, but everybody knows to play the game, so you kind of have to play it. So and I think dog friendly, you know, with her coming, that's been an interesting trend. More and more people are taking their dogs. And that's something, we have 3 properties that aren't dog friendly, and I keep telling our office, maybe we should go dog friendly at one of the properties, because it's amazing the people that walk in every day and are looking for a dog friendly hotel. And there's only a handful of them. We actually went out and made a list. Interesting, because we have 3 properties, and it's amazing. We're actually doing this big, huge analysis right now because we have 1 property that's doing really well, and we have 1 that's just kind of borderline, and 1 that's doing horrible. So we kind of are all on the spectrums. We're all across the board right now, and it's really interesting. We're trying to figure out what's going on. You know, when you see TOT, you know that it's definitely, you know, the economy and the trend, but it's funny how one of our properties is actually ahead. And we're trying to figure out what we're doing right over there. So, you know, what's going on? Why are they doing so well? So it's kind of interesting right now because things are so different. It's not like it's been in the past where you can just know what it is and put your finger on it. This year's, I think, probably the last year has been the most different year. Trends aren't the same. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Thanks, Michelle. We appreciate your input. Okay, do we have any questions on the budget that John sent around?
Well, I could just, if I may, this is really a very clear picture because what we try to do is, as opposed to projections in the past of what we've been spending, because we do an audit a couple of times a year to make sure where we're at with, because a lot of times when we book these or we put our original budget together, we don't know about rate increases or negotiations, so you're going to find that there may be, like in Bakersfield Life, we're, you know, under 160, or excuse me, over 160, mm-hmm. but then with Imagine Magazine, that's made up by 158. So it just goes to, it really just kind of illustrates how we really have to be right on target, because the publications do change their rates, and sometimes we're able to negotiate a more favorable rate. But as you can see, we're, you know, coming down to, we have about $47,000 remaining in our budget. That still needs to be spent between April, May, and June, which is pretty normal. We try to have a really heavy month in the month of March, so hopefully we'll see some return from that as people prepare for their spring vacations and summer vacations and trying to feed that. So it gives you a pretty good picture of what's there.
Great.
I have a question on this. Looking at this, John, what advertising are we doing in the Bay Area in Northern California?
Well, we do with Sun, and this is one of the areas that we had to sacrifice as far as when our budget was cut. We used to spend money in cable up there and in the Chronicle and on their website, but we do run in Sunset Magazine. Those are Northern California editions as well, so that we divide those up between Southern and Northern. And I guess indirectly you could say that Sierra Magazine would cover that area mm-hmm. as well, since it's has that larger circulation. And then also Travel 50 and Beyond is a little bit of a reach, but it is national, so we get all of California as well as other states. And that's pretty much as the effort as that we do.
We've got cable television in Northern California in the spring, right?
Right, right. I'm sorry, that's another mm-hmm. one as well.
Okay. John, as you know, radio is dear to my heart, and I see we still have the radio remote. Is that being scheduled?
Yeah, I have something to present today on that, as a matter of fact.
The reason I asked, John, is I've been, in addition to my own zip code tracking information on my business, I've asked some of my neighbors for the same type of information. What I'm getting so far, when I do a real careful breakdown on ours, we are actually up this year from last year.
Good.
And where the up is coming from is entirely the Bay Area. Mm. Southern California has held steady. Palm Springs area has held steady, so has Las Vegas. But all of the increase is from the zip codes in the Bay Area. And you know what? When I get the zip code information out, I have to reverse track on all of them and all that. It was really interesting. Our local economy, too, seems to have held steady for us. But all of our increase has been Bay Area, and we have not really targeted that specifically in our own advertising. And now I'm finding the same thing from a couple of galleries around me. One of them is doing three-quarters of his business from the Bay Area right now. Mm. And I was quite surprised. Also, our average sale from up there is, it used to be about double from Southern California. Now it's even higher. And that's just the average. So I'm thinking, if I'm going to have more of customers from any one location, Bay Area, please, because they don't bat an eye.
Well,
and they don't negotiate on prices. I don't get any of that from them. So.
Well, I think that's something, you know, we'll be preparing for our next budget so we can look at opportunities. I failed to mention one other one that is pretty significant, actually, and that's trade shows, because we do go to the Sunset mm-hmm. Show up in Palo Alto. And I think, Peter, we got the approval to go to that show again.
Officially, we did.
Great. Good. And that's sort of a challenge because of our spending level. We have to kind of go in and negotiate and I don't know if plead's the right word, but pretty close to that. But they let us in, and I think this year they may have had maybe less attendees. I don't know. It seemed like it was a little easier this year. But last year we came real close to not being able to get in. And that's a great show, and that's in Palo Alto. And even though that show would attract people beyond, you know, Northern California, it's pretty much Bay Area because I worked the booth and saw the people coming. And then also the Green Fest, which was, you know, up in San Francisco as well. I think those sort of redundant after this. I keep saying this, but it's a good thing to keep discussing is that we have a very long length of time that people spend on the website, almost 12 minutes. And I think that's a good – it shows that we've got a site that people find entertaining and informative, that they stick to it. Over the course of the year up to this point, we've had 297 user sessions, and we've had 433 newsletter signups. In addition to that, we keep importing the replies that the visitor center gets as far as people with their email addresses. So we're adding those to the list. So we're now up to almost 7,000 on our database, which is really getting to be significant. And that's really becoming a very economical way to communicate events and all the other things that are happening. I'd like to see us really try to work out, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but I think now more than ever, if we could work out some hotel packages and maybe just send an email newsletter that would, for all those who wanted to participate, just give them an idea of what kind of economical packages, value-added packages that we have. Because that list, it really costs us very little other than the mechanics of sending the newsletter out and crafting the newsletter. And those are people that have said, yes, please send me information. I'm interested in Morro Bay, or I've been there and I want to come back. So it's a very valuable target market for us. The top views are the homepage, and Trip Builder is right after that, which is really great because that's the new software that we added where people can go and they can set their whole itinerary up for their visit to Morro Bay. They can pick their restaurant, know what time they're going to go, have their reservation set up. Their hotel, all the things that they would do, activities, and then they put that into a shopping cart and print it out into an itinerary. So it's good to see that people are finding that valuable. We continue to have the 56% no referral, which again represents well over half of the people are typing in morrobay.org, which I would think would be a tribute to the advertising. And our outreach, they know our website. And of course there are a lot of people who are returning, but that's a good thing as well, that they're coming back and finding out what we have available. The next thing I had was if you could put up the photo expo. Actually, that's fine. I'll talk about that first. And are you able to go online? If you could do that, what we've set up, and we've talked about this in the past, we now have a video player as part of the website.
Great.
And so this is kind of our own little YouTube. And right now all we have on there is our DVD. And this was just, it's on there only because that's how we could get the thing started. But we do have some other, if you'll go to the homepage, actually not that one, to the left. And where it says video player, video viewer, second down. Yeah, click on that. And so then what we have here is what my goal would be is just like the photo contest, which believe me is working very well. We have submissions every week, and we just picked a new winner, which I'll cover in a moment. But what I'd like to see is people submit their own home movies of their trip to Morro Bay. And this gets back into the whole social media thing where people really want to communicate with each other. They don't want to hear from a food and wine critic. They want to hear from Joe from Bakersfield and, you know, what kind of a trip they had, or somebody from the Bay Area. So we're going to start importing those kinds of videos on there. And, Bob, if you'll just maybe click on the top where it says Morro Bay North.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my flashlight is not up today.
Okay, that's fine. But basically what happens is, as we get videos, just like YouTube, so we'll have a whole column. I mean, ideally, I'd like to see 50 on there at some point in time. And we would, to make sure that we get submittals that are what we want to have on there, they would submit them to us, just like the photo contest. We screen them, approve them, and then put them on the website. But again, I think this could be one of the most viewed pages on the website. I think this whole social media thing, not only does it work, it's fun. And I think it's not even the future. I mean, this is the way people are communicating. And I know for the next generation of people, like my 14-year-old, you know, this is how we're going to communicate to the next level of buyers, I think, with this whole social media and TripAdvisor and all the different things that we've become involved with. If you show that Photo Expo next, that's just that. Yeah, it says Photo Expo on it. I think you have that. So this is actually a screenshot of the website that we've set up. And this is just the landing page right now. But the reality is we are going to have a Photo Expo event. And we've set it for October 23rd, 24th, and 25th. We've reserved the halls that we need. And George sometimes is best. So we're sort of evolving right now of what types of seminars we're going to have. We don't want to do too much and take on too much and not have it successful. But at the very, very least, we're going to have a full day with George Lepp. And we're going to start selling tickets fairly soon. Our ideal would be to sell out so that we know what we have to work with and then start adding seminars that would occur. And we're also going to try to get some local sponsors in Morro Bay, also perhaps in the county. Jim's Campus Camera is a longtime client of ours. I'm sure they would be willing to come in and maybe do a digital class or something like that. So I think the whole idea is to really make this local. The Morro Bay is perfect for this, and we've talked about this before, because, one, we have an incredible place to take pictures, whether it be wildlife or scenery, but we have some phenomenal photographers, both currently professional as well as retired. Our mayor's a photographer, so this just makes total sense. And I really do honestly think this will be something like the Warner Bird Festival, so someday we'll have something that will really help us. And I think these are the kinds of events, getting back to the BID too, that, you know, hopefully maybe the BID can, this will be a time when they may be getting some of their funding, they can help out and make this a little larger and a little bit more in scope too, and maybe help advertise it, because these are the kinds of events I think we want in Morro Bay. They're multiple day events. These are events that people can come in, and if we have, you know, a welcoming party on a Thursday night, give them a reason to come Thursday. We have seminars Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Maybe even have an activity, a farewell event on Sunday night to keep them. I think that's really going to be the key.
What's the website address, John?
It's morrobayphoto.com. And we'll be adding more and more to this as well. Probably get some of our photos, you know, local photos and photographers, and as this is just evolving. But we also are going to set up where people can register online and pay online as well. And that's Janice Peters, our mayor, has been real helpful in kind of giving us some of the vendors that have worked with the Bird Festival. Mm-hmm. In other words, people who have set up the registration, those kinds of things. So we're kind of using that as a model, and I think that's probably the way to go.
Great.
Yes.
Great. Yeah, we have the photo gallery, and again, I think this is just the beginning now to take off. And I can find it here. We basically picked a winner, and the other one is where the two birds, if you can get that photo. I think it might be on that pile that's on the... Oh, and you can just use the... actually, there's a copy of it. Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah. So this is the photograph that was selected most recently. We have a lot of photographs of, you know, beautiful photographs of the rock. We thought this one was sort of clever and kind of cute. And my art director, who's also a photographer, is the one that I've had starting to pick these winners. And Michelle has been great about supplying us with prizes. So this person is going to win, has won an overnight stay at the San Marcos. And the person is from Santa Maria, which is sort of interesting. And he was very excited. And it's called Goal Post. And we'll be getting his gift certificate to him and the acknowledgement on the website. So I think this is, again, part of that whole social media thing where people are... We want to create a site where people really feel like they can contribute and come and see new photographs. And, kind of right out of the Alfred Hitchcock bird. And let's see. There's some ads there. If you can find any of those up. Yeah. So this just went in the Los Angeles Times magazine. This is the magazine that's inserted into the travel section. Comes out twice a year. Very similar look to Sunset Magazine and their ad directory, where they have Central Coast category for Central Coast getaways, and this is our ad for that. I think there's maybe another one there. And would you mind right there at the bottom, all the way to the bottom? There we go, Bakersfield Life. So what we've tried to do in excuse me, running to New Bakersfield, we try to, whenever we have an ad schedule, we try to mirror that around an event. So as you can see, we're touting the Kite Festival coming up. So, and again, I think Peter will attest to this, once we run an ad or we do the, you know, we're one or number two in the market, which is La Buena, KIDI. And they also own another station called Radio Ranchito. And that's really to a little bit of older Hispanic demographic. So what it would be a combination to run Spanish advertising, but also Anglo, but do a combination buy. And what they would do is we basically would just own the station for a good two-month period. And they would come up to Morro Bay. They would do radio remotes, get them to come to broadcast live. In addition to that, as part of the value added, they would translate portions of our website into Spanish. So we would set up a whole other website for Hispanics. And this market, as you all are well aware, California is soon, if it's not already, more Hispanic than Anglo. There's a little misnomer sometimes about Hispanics that they don't have money, and they truly do. The market in Santa Maria especially, we're talking about people who own ranches, who are foremen, who, you know, are managers of different retail outlets. And one thing that's interesting is the agriculture industry is not really hurting. In fact, it's really doing pretty well because commodities still exist. People still need to have food, and they still need groceries. They still need all those different types of things. And I think Santa Maria, having lived there a number of years ago, is a place that we could lure those people out. Now, granted, there's a bit of a fear, well, are they just going to come for the day? There is probably going to be a part of that, but our advertising is going to be totally geared toward overnight stay and packages, and also going to be geared toward the fact, letting them know they don't necessarily need to go to Hawaii, they don't need to go to Europe. There's a beautiful place, economical place for them just right up the road. But basically what this would entail would be radio spots, live radio remotes, four live broadcasts. We would also be on their websites and link to ours. And in addition to that, they would set us up with a, which I think would be a value for us, irrespective, with an Hispanic website that would be they would translate it for us, and we would, there would be some involved. We still have money in our budget to do that. But I would also say, from experience of working with Hispanic radio before, and again, we are going to be on some Anglo stations with this effort too, but a lot of people who are bilingual listen to Spanish radio because they like the music, it's their culture. So I would say probably half of the people, and this is not really backed up by total research, but from things I read in the past, probably are English speaking. And so it's a little bit of a departure from what we've done in the past. I wouldn't concentrate all of our efforts just on the station group, but I think the key is that we need to put enough dollars toward it to where we're not just running a schedule for a couple of weeks, where we truly have the ability to have a presence there for a couple months leading up to, through the spring, and then even actually kind of fortifying summer. Because I think with summer, hopefully we'll be full, but I don't know if we'll be full during the week. And again, if we talk about Sunday through Thursday packages and really encourage people in that, I think the key is going to be the creative and what our message is to make sure that this works. And but I think also the other part of that's going to be that we're going to really need to sit down, and maybe Michelle can help us with Peter's help and get the hoteliers involved, because we're really going to need to have packages to make this work.
Just to interject a little bit here, we did an experiment with the city in the softball rec centers, all of the tournaments that they have. They actually have 11, 25 teams of 10 players per team. That's 250 plus whoever they're traveling with. So that's, it comes down to about 5,000 or 6,000 people coming into our town in that short period of time. And what we did is we put out a call to our hoteliers, to the restaurants, to the activity folks, and we put together a package. And it's really pretty slick how the thing got put together. And I'll bring it next time. But it's an ID, and each player has an ID with their name on it and the date of the tournament. And we've made arrangements with the restaurants and the hotels and the activities for substantial discounts. They just show this ID as they go in, and they get the discount. And then, of course, it's only good for that particular tournament. It's really a neat little package. I think if it works as well as we think it does, I would be crazy if we didn't utilize this in all of our events and just have everyone participate, even if it's just every hotelier pulls one room in or something. We have a series of 40 rooms to deal with, because there's 42 or so hotels. So anyway, I'll bring that next time so we can take a look at it.
I think also just to add one other thing, that how this would work.
If you could find it for the city of Santa Maria?
Sure.
That would be great, because I just would be really curious. I mean, I think you're right, that isn't a market we've ever targeted, but I would like to be more educated on it.
Sure.
So that would be great.
I want to say I think it's a great idea, too, and I think touching in on the Spanish is amazing. California's demographics are really changing a lot, and I know at the hotels we are starting to see a lot more. I actually have a lot of bilingual staff. One of my head front desk staff members, she's kind of the one who's taken over for me, she's actually bilingual. It's amazing how many times she speaks Spanish with some of our clientele that's coming in. So like you said, there's this misconception that they don't travel, they don't have money. A lot of them are families that travel, that want to get out, they spend money, and they want the deals, but they're just like everybody else. I mean, there's no difference. And I think if we're going to experiment a little bit, why not experiment in our own backyard and see how it works? And I think I had a question with the Spanish website. Is it just ours for 2 months, or do we get it?
Oh no, we would
forever.
We would actually set up a whole. Probably have another. We would certainly link to this one and give the people the ability when they came to our current website, they could click on a button and go to a Spanish translation. But we probably also want to set up a separate landing. Almost have another website.
And I think
so
that's
if we did
great.
Further Hispanic advertising, that would become our website.
Right.
But what I've found is that in working with the Hispanic marketplace, there's two things that are really interesting. Is one, if they're invited, they will come.
Right.
And that sounds a little superficial, or a little simplistic, but it's true. And the other thing is that we would have to fulfill that, you know. And the other part of it that's really good is that they're very loyal once they find something. I've had car dealers, and I know that's a little apples and oranges, but I think it's still selling, you know, still representative. I've had car dealers be successful by attracting the Hispanic marketplace. And it really came down to a committed effort that it took. You can't do it for a week or two. It's something you got to kind of step up and do. And that's really why I thought, you know, I honestly wouldn't recommend just running a couple weeks of radio down there to see what we could get. I don't think it would work. But I think if we had the talent come up here and talk about it and do more than just our simple schedule. But I think that what's going to make this work is all the other. But I think the most important thing is we have to fulfill what we're going to promise.
Right. Yeah. I think it's nice, though, to have the website, too, because that's something we could use in the future. You know, down south and up north, you have a lot of Spanish population, like you said, that are bilingual, too. I mean, now a lot of people are bilingual. They do both. But they like to go and see the Spanish stuff, and there's that loyalty thing. And they want to feel welcomed. So if you go out and reach your hand to them and you welcome them into the community and you make them feel welcome, then they're going to come and they'll return again and again.
Using radio to reach the Hispanic market is a very good idea. Having worked 2 years in the Santa Maria market, I worked at a radio station, as you know, and ran one in Santa Maria for 2 years. And the Hispanic market, if you're going to go for Hispanics, the Santa Maria market obviously is a very, very heavy Hispanic market. The only way you're going to reach these people is with Hispanic media. And everything you've said about the Hispanic market is true. As far as the radio medium is concerned, radio in general, especially Anglo radio, is having a tough time, as all media is today.
Right.
However, the Hispanic radio market is very successful today. It's one of the few areas in radio which is seeing increases not only in ad revenue but in listenership. So I think you've done a very good job in targeting not only the market but the medium also.
Well, and I think, too, that with Hispanic radio, it's there, and you're right, because there is no Spanish newspaper in Santa Maria. So the one way you are going to reach them is radio. And one of the things that I found is that radio remotes, we used to use radio remotes years ago, and they used to work. Well, then what happened is they would do two in one day. So, you know, they would have, like, in the morning, need to come here. Well, then in the afternoon, no, it's better to come over here. So I think that what happened with the radio stations, excuse me, they got a little bit overused. And I think also radio remotes used to center around some important event as opposed to just showing up and broadcasting.
Sometimes they weren't even remotes, John. And we have to be sure that they're going to do an actual live remote with a feed
right.
from Morro Bay. Many
right.
times they would record them, or they'd put somebody here on a telephone,
right.
And it would just be at the breaks. They would be on the phone, and it would sound sort of a quasi-remote.
Right.
But we need the visual of the radio station here. They have to have a van. They have to have, you know, the signage, everything
right.
to make it look like it truly is a remote.
What I was going to say, too, is that the Spanish remotes still work. I mean, they're one of the ones that when you, in the old days when you had an Anglo remote, you had a lot of people show up for it. Well, now those are sort of diminishing returns, but Spanish remotes, people still come out. It's amazing. And I think that we could work in, you know, where Morro Bay could be a sponsor to a concert down there. I mean, I think it's just a way to tap this market. And again, I think if we're going to do business in California, it's something we need to embrace because it's no longer the minority, it's the majority.
Probably a good idea.
Well, either that or we may be able to work something out where if there's questions that they might be able to refer to somebody.
You know, come think about it, Rochelle is. She's on a trip right now. I'll kind of define with her, but I believe she is.
Okay, great.
Let me know if you have any problems, too, because I have a couple of bilingual staff.
Okay.
At the desk level, that could help if you guys need
Excellent.
Some help. So,
good. Thank you.
Also, Peter, you know, Patty, my business partner, is bilingual.
Great. Okay. I knew there would be a pool
to
use from.
Great. Thanks, John. Do you have anything else?
Well, I mentioned the Sunset Show, and I think that's it.
Okay. Terrific. Moving on. The Public Relations Subcommittee did not meet, as far as I know. The website subcommittee?
Well, the website subcommittee had sort of a, I'm sorry, Michelle, you didn't, it was sort of an impromptu meeting that Bill and I had.
That's fine.
So
no worries. But
it wasn't a planned type meeting, and we did discuss, and Bill had some ideas on how to recapture some of the leads that we get at the trade shows. And he had some had some questions of what happens to all these business cards and the people who drop things into the bowl to win a prize. And so he did have some ideas on how to make that easy and capture them, because we know there's a labor-intensive to get those things into a database.
Right.
And he has some ideas on that. So what I'd like to do possibly is, could we agendize that for next week, month, when Bill is here? And under new ideas, Bill probably could explain in more detail some of the ideas that we talked about, rather than take this time to do it.
Okay, that sounds great.
So could we do that?
Yes, and we do miss Bill. I believe he is recovering well.
Bill looked great. He sounds great. He's got some more doctor's appointments and some, I guess, rehabilitation, you know, what do you call it?
Physical therapy?
Physical therapy or whatever he has to do. But he looks great, and he's planning on being back with us next month.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ed. Okay, moving on to unfinished business. We had left on the review of the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District just to give us a place to speak about the BID, because it has been a continuing topic that we've wanted to discuss at our meetings. Does anyone have any input or any information they wanted to talk about today?
Can Andrea tell us where the city stands on this now?
Thank you. I was going to bring the city staff report, and I didn't have time to go by the office. But I will let you know that there is a public meeting scheduled at the next city council meeting, which is March 23rd, and the draft ordinance is attached to that staff report. It's an interesting read. I would suggest you pick it up. It talks about this the makeup of the committee, and that will be discussed. Notification was sent out immediately after the last council meeting where this was discussed to the hoteliers. The other thing that's in the draft ordinance is the council's recommendation on a 3% BID beginning June of 2009, then diminished to a 2% beginning June of 2010. And we'll have another public hearing, I believe, to accept the ordinance, and if I'm incorrect, I apologize, on the following April 13th. So there's two public hearings in a row.
Is the ordinance included in this packet?
It is included in this packet. Yes, it's a draft ordinance.
Okay. Great. Does anyone else have anything that they wanted to add? Okay, terrific. Well, I'll try to get a copy of that and read it. Moving on to new business, discussion of new display for the trade show. That was something that I had taken on, and I apologize, I do not have a report for you today. But I was hoping, Peter, that I could get with you to possibly talk about the trade show booth. I was thinking we could schedule an appointment maybe in a couple weeks.
Sure.
And go over that. So
yeah.
If we could... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, do you want to see the display, set it up,
no,
that type of thing?
No, I've seen it a lot of times. I've set it up myself a couple times. So
all right.
You
know how fun that is, right?
Oh, yeah. So, but, Andrea, if we could just agendize that again, just continue that to next month, that would be great. And then if we can talk about the future promotional items for trade shows. It looks like you brought those, John.
Yeah, I think the board asked last time to see kind of what where we have available, and I think most of you are familiar with the DVD, but these are copies for everybody.
Oh, great, thanks.
So you can take a look at that. I think the DVD still has quite a bit of shelf life to it. That's not to say that we, you know, might want to next year look at maybe, you know, re-editing it, updating it a little bit if there's some things that we need to add. And again, I think the whole video aspect of what we're doing is probably going to become more and more, have more and more emphasis, just because of the whole aspects of being able to put that on the website and communicate that way. This folder has a lot of purposes, and we've also we have quite a few of these. Like in any case, when you print, you tend to overprint, and Peter's utilized these at the visitor center as well, and we'll continue to do that. But these cards we printed some time ago, and this is what we use predominantly at trade shows, because obviously it's easy to carry. People, what we found, and Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, this piece is really pretty and people look at it, but they don't necessarily all the time want it because they don't, they've already got a big bag of things. They really prefer to have this, mm-hmm. or they just want to hear what our website is.
Well, what they really like about the colorful magazine is the map that's in the back of it. It gives them a good view of what Morro Bay looks like, and we utilize that map a lot.
Well, and I apologize, kind of just stepping back, I should have I've reiterated this prior to the start of this conversation, but the reason we're talking about this is that we had come to the realization because of our last trade show that we're out of any collateral material to be disseminated at these events.
That's right.
And what about information that is being disseminated at the visitor center? Is that, I mean, I presume that is gone or low as well?
Well, what we did at the last trade show is we just printed thousands of pieces of material, and we handed out as much
at,
as we could.
At the chamber. So you just printed pieces there and then handed those out.
Right.
The material,
okay. Right.
The material at the visitor center, much of it, in fact, most of it, is supplied not only by what the chamber prints and we print as a committee, but also from other publishers. I mean,
right.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Right.
In fact, there's a
yes.
service that comes today. Anthony comes today with a huge, huge box
okay.
and replenishes our racks.
Right.
And then we get them from the other publishers, as you know. There's no problem at the visitor center.
Okay.
One of the most popular is the visitor center booklet that we have, which really incorporates all of the small pamphlets, things to do, lodging, dining, activities. It's all inclusive, and it's a little expensive to print. It averages about $1.70 or so, a copy to do, but it is. It is really something that people, and we printed almost 1,000 of those.
Huh. That seems like
more specifically, also when people come in and have a specific need, whether it's lodging or dining or things to do or religious organizations or where to shop or what's going on in town, we have individual publications that don't cost what Peter's talking about that we print individually, so we don't have to give them information that they don't need.
Got
so
it. I'm talking about the trade show.
Yeah.
That's what we've taken down the trade show.
Okay.
We don't hand those out. They're not sitting on the rack.
Okay.
It's only for when we have a fulfillment.
Yeah, I'm talking more about
way.
The visitor center.
Okay.
Which you asked about. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so...
And I'll just, if I could add one thing. As you look at this, there are going to be some things that are dated in this, because this was some time ago.
Yeah,
and that's another reason.
Ago?
Actually, I think even longer than that.
It was there by the thousands when I came 3 years ago.
But it has had a long shelf life. We tried to do it that way, but it is dated. It's a beautiful piece. It's very expensive to. If we wanted to reproduce something like this, it would be very expensive. I don't really recommend it as much as it would be a fun project to do.
Right.
I don't know if it'd be beneficial to the city. One of the things I was going to show you, which has become more and more popular, this is a way to do your DVDs. And I had a better example. I had one of Tahiti, but I've since have probably given it away. But what you do is you put your DVD on here, and then you could have a picture of Morro Bay on the back, and it's a postcard. Mm-hmm. And this might be something we might want to think about, too.
That's my vote.
That's a
I mean,
idea.
I think postcards are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's
I just feel like people want the electronic, version. And I don't know, John, if there's a way that you could make this DVD so that we still had the DVD content on it and so that if you put it in a DVD player with a TV, it would play, but so that if you also inserted it into the computer...
Oh, it should work for
well,
both of us.
Well, what I was wondering, too, is if you could have, a whole, page that said, link to our website here, so
right.
that it could have,
right.
a way to get them to the website if they used it on the computer. So, but I think this is what we should do. Do you have any idea how much this costs?
I can get a quote. It's pretty reasonable, actually. The hard part is done, the DVD. It's just like a specialty advertising item, mm-hmm. it's like buying a coffee mug or, it's and that company, actually, that's what they do. They do specialty advertising.
Will it shrink down to that size, the content?
It would have to be reformatted, but mm-hmm. it would, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
It could be utilized for that purpose. And I think the other thing that I would recommend, and again, I think look to Peter on this too, because I know he's been in the booth more than I.
And on the back, put the map.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
And then do the DVD on the postcard.
I think that's a great combination.
I agree. Yeah. I know when I've done trade shows too, that is the number one question. Where are you?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's, people that want to know
works.
Where you're at.
Right.
The dimensions of this rat card would work perfectly for a map.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a great idea. I think that we could lose one side of that. I mean, it would be the end of the world.
Right.
And as you can see, that piece was designed to complement this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The style. So if this goes away, then, you know, there's not.
So when is our next trade show? Next year?
No, it's actually, there's two ahead of us. It is June 6th, the Sunset Show, and 7th.
Oh, okay.
And that's then right. November, we have to think about that if we want to participate, and that's the Green Festival. Remember, we were the only city allowed to go in. I don't know how it's going to play out this time.
Well, so, John, if you could get pricing and prototypes for us by April, then we should have enough time to print them. After our meeting before the trade show.
Yeah. Right. You know, another interesting, what we tried, we introduced at the Green Festival was our local fruit.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly excitement was generated from the fruit. And because we are so unique in what we produce here, guavas, pineapple guavas. I mean, you know, typically they don't grow in areas like this, but, you know, we have them. Passion fruit, you know, is another one. And the horn melon, I mean, my gosh, that drew in people like crazy. Just don't touch it.
Tell somebody.
Oh, man. And of course, our prize, you know, which is the local avocados. I think, you know, and they were donated the first time, and we took them down to the L.A. Travel Show, but it ended up costing about $25-$30 to do that.
But I guess,
you know, so there may be, I don't know if we throw in a little budget into that, but I think it really extremely well. It brought people in just because.
Well, we have the whole Morro Bay Grown, too. You know, I think that's another branding aspect that, you know, we have the artwork for that, and I think that's something that we could, you know, hang our hats on, too.
I think we should incorporate into that also our local seafood and meat. There's an organization now marketing largely on Mexican radio, Spanish-speaking radio, with locally, organically grown meat that they're producing and marketing in this area.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
And our fish. You know, our waters are so clean.
Well, you know, that would be really, really appropriate for Sunset because that whole show is centered around food and dining. And, again, the local seafood, you know, that aspect of it would be really, really valuable there. It would really fit in.
Well, I know that there are some local restaurants who produce seafood jerky, like smoked seafood jerky. And that might be something I'm not sure if we have any room in our budget for this year, but I certainly wouldn't mind allocating some funds to purchase products like that because those are the types of things that get people into your booth space talking about the city.
Well, I think, too, that you know, the value for, depending upon, obviously, the quantities that we would need, but it would behoove anybody with a great product to provide it at least at their cost because we're selling that product for them at a big trade show. And certainly we would want to have information that where they could order it, you know, where they would be able to get it because that's the next question somebody's going to ask you, well, how do I order this? And I think it was really interesting that when we did the Green Fest that people were really quizzing us like, well, this is really grown there, you know. I mean, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. And how do you eat it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so taking action on this, we don't need a motion to have John design these items, right, Andrea? Okay. Okay. So if you can go ahead and move, go ahead and get that underway. And then I guess, Peter, if you could just gather some information for us in terms of fruits and maybe some local seafood and stuff that you would like to have available.
I know one of our chamber members just acquired the Hearst Castle beef, and it's grown, it's grain fed, and hot dogs from them, chili, unbelievably good taste. It's Dogs on the Harbor, I think, is she just bought the Hot Dogs on the Harbor.
Oh, okay.
And it would be easy to get a connection with them, I would think, because it's already established. And we're trying to get them into our farmer's market on Saturday to sell their beef there.
Well, that's perfect because you get to promote Hearst Castle at the same time.
Oh,
well,
no, it's a great idea.
Windows in the Water also serves Hearst Castle beef. And there's this other company that's doing organically grown meats and vegetables. And there's somebody up in Cayucas, too, that sells grain-fed beef that's raised on their ranch. So
yeah, we should definitely check into it, and no problem with that.
Okay,
yeah.
That's perfect. That sounds great. I'm really excited about that. Okay, moving on to the next item, discussion. We want the website – I mean, everybody wants their website to be, you know, visible and recognizable. But I think that, you know, maybe the color palette, that maybe, like, we have approved colors, maybe that, you know, they have to hire a graphic designer to design their ad.
We need to discuss that.
Okay.
Is the pages behind the front page the responsibility of the chamber, as I understand it?
As I understand it.
So we would only be really concerned and only have authority, I would think, over the front page of that website, the one you see when it first comes up.
So that's all we have jurisdiction over?
That's what I understood to be true. I know, that's why I was asking
Peter.
Well,
I think there may be one easy solution, and that is, Peter, you've had now a pretty good relationship with Stuart, who does the design of the website. Right. He's very inexpensive. You know, if a client would be willing, you know, and I don't think it would cost much. It would be more effective for them to have him do it because he has the design in mind of the whole website. If and when you could, utilize him because there were a couple times when I think there was something that was put on. We let him do it when it was a half hour and he had it redone. I think it was the Jazz. Maybe it was back
right,
to the
– Right, right.
And, you know, he – if you utilized him, and I don't make any money on it, I mean, it would just be added work for him, which would be a good thing. That might be one way to do it.
Yeah, we can do that. There's no problem.
He's really easy to work with.
We haven't actively really solicited this yet because we wanted to make sure we had a contractual agreement, you know, and we're in the middle of doing that. That's almost done. And then we have to make sure that the standards are going to be set. And we haven't done that. We've put a couple up just to get an experiment, to see how they respond, especially the hotels when they go on. And we had, what was it, the Embarcadero Inn when Ed was here. He said, well, let's try it. And I asked him the second month out, I says, how did it go? And he wouldn't say anything. He just had a big smile on his face. You know, because he knew that it was going to be successful. We're going to charge him for it. But apparently
not everybody else would want to do it.
Well, he said he ended up having about 125 direct click-throughs just in a three-week period. So there's potential there. And we certainly want to make sure that it's done right and professionally, and you know we're not going to just throw something up there.
The web store is that part of this?
Yeah, we're it's almost it's technically done. We're putting product on there right now, and then we'll go out to our membership and see if they want to, you know, maybe have an annex of their store, and we'll have 10 items that they can actually flash through each time, and
cool.
Then they can buy it, through their sites or ours, and that's what we're trying to figure out now with PayPal, and then with the shopping cart. So that's there. Plus, the other thing is with doing, and I don't know if you talked about this, is the events pages, direct, and when you click to Kite, it'll have the Kite web page, and within the web page is all of the photos and you know all of the things about the event, and it's very well done.
That's our next biggest, and that's in collaboration with the chamber. But Stuart's been working on that, and that'll be our next big effort for the web to have all those landing pages that people can actually then go to an actual website. Nice thing about that too is we can track those too, so we'll be able to see how many people actually went to that particular website.
I think your concerns would be are going to be addressed. I think as the website sees more and more commerce on it, and more advertisers on it, it'll look a lot more professional, and people will take much more concern with what they're putting on that website, and it'll look much more professional.
Great. I just wanted to make sure it was something we were aware of. So, terrific. Thanks.
I think there's also a hidden benefit to have Peter involved with the advertising and not this committee, because
yes.
if it was us. Then you have, because it's would be more public funds oriented, right. You have to take everybody that wants to advertise.
Yeah. No, I think it definitely is.
I mean, everybody.
Yeah, it's good with the chamber. So, okay, moving on to item D, appointment of public relations and website subcommittees. I was also thinking, I don't know, we probably can't do this. We probably need to agendize it for next month, but we probably should have added budget subcommittee on that as well, because we really do need to start working on our budget for the upcoming fiscal year. Do we need to agendize that, Andrea, or can we make that those appointments today?
I'm going to go back to the budget, because that's kind of a that's definitely something. In fact, our budget hearings are in May, but we're preparing a preliminary budget currently. So we need the budget information, I would say, by the first or second week of April.
Okay.
So I would think that you could certainly put together a committee to look at that today. I mean, you really need to.
Committee right away and have a meeting right away, so I would get some direction on what to plan.
Right.
So this will be not just a budget request. They want to see something similar to what we have there, right, kind of a line item.
Right. They're looking. The council has asked for us to be very specific about what we're spending. So, again, I think you're really there. But instead of just one lump sum for, contractual services, they want to know, well, what are those contractual services? What are you doing with that money?
Okay.
And I think the other thing would be, and I don't know if it would be, I don't know if you could discuss it today, but a feeling for what you're going to ask. Mm-hmm. I think with the BID and the strong possibilities of that forming, and this would be the first time that I would have ever said this, is status quo,
right.
Because I think it would be a little much to, ask for more when that's on the horizon. But I think what we should try to do with this budget, and it's going to be very difficult because the BID has not been formed yet, still may not be formed. It sounds like it probably will be. But we're going to have to figure out how we're going to be able to have this budget so it's not going to be, that it's going to be overkill for what
right.
they're going to do. We need to find a way that it's not going to be repetitive.
Right.
And that would be one of the things that I would try to, counsel you on, is that we have a budget that's going to benefit both areas, both work.
Well, if we can go ahead and form that committee, then I think it would be prudent of the committee to try and have a number to, the group by next meeting so that we could discuss that in more detail. So if we can go ahead and agendize that, Andrea, to discuss the budget next meeting. Or I guess we just discuss that under the budget report. Okay. Great. Well, if currently we have myself and Susan on the Public Relations Subcommittee. We have Ed, Bill, and yourself on the Website Committee, Michelle. And then Joyce, are you on the Website Committee as well? You were on budget? Okay. So we can have up to three members on each committee, but no more.
Can we change? I would prefer to be on the Promotions Committee versus the Website Committee.
The Public Relations?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is not a problem. Let's go ahead and we'll just take it one committee at a time. So let's talk about Public Relations. So, Michelle, you're interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Susan? Did you want to go ahead and continue on with that? Okay. I think that I would like to step down from that and work on the budget. So is there anyone else interested in the public?
I do.
Yeah? Okay. Great. Then
Bill said he would stay with.
He wants.
Either way, he'll do anything.
Okay. So we'll go ahead. I would like, or can I have a motion to have Michelle, Susan, and Tracy on the Public Relations Subcommittee?
So moved.
A second? Okay, great. That carries. So we'll move on to the Website Subcommittee. Bill would like to go ahead and stay on that.
And I'll stay on that.
Ed would like to stay on that. Joyce, do you have any interest in the Website Subcommittee? It's totally up to you. We also have the budget that we're going to need to have some folks on.
She's good with numbers because she worked at the
bank. Yeah, we should probably have you on that. Okay. We'll go ahead and keep Bill and Ed on the Website Committee. If I could get a motion to approve that.
I'll motion it.
Okay, and a second?
I'll second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great. That motion carries. Then for the budget subcommittee, I would like to be part of that. And Joyce, you would as well? Okay?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, and Ed as well?
I think it would be good, even though, because Peter's not a voting member, it would be nice to have Peter there too.
Yes. Peter, if you could join us in that. Okay, so if I could get a motion for Heather, Ed, and Joyce on the budget committee.
So moved.
In a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, Michelle seconding. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, that carries then. Terrific. So that gets us through our appointments. Discussion of new ideas.
I don't know if this is a new idea, but or how we go about this. We're pursuing it now anyway. But I had an opportunity to meet with the president and the vice president of Bay Area Travel Writers and Photography Group up in the Bay Area, and I have their, you know, we had a great meeting. She fell in love, absolutely fell in love, Diane, the vice chair, fell in love with Morro Bay and cannot wait to get here and bring their membership. Now, we were talking about bringing them in and the numbers and show them what Morro Bay is all about. Now, typically, when you do that, I guess sometimes there's people shying away from giving things up, you know, because it's, you know, it's a group coming in and looking for something that's, you know, free, I guess. But we can, and she agreed that we do something a little different and make it an assignment. So when they come, they're assigning, they'll be assigned an article or something. It's not like they come in and experience it and walk away. They actually are coming here for a reason. So then we would take care of their room and they'll take care of their food and they have an experience with the different activities and like that. Now, I don't know if the promotions committee wants to be involved with something like that and help organize it. It just seems so valuable to me to do that. You know, that we just, you know, and we were thinking of combining it with the photo week expo, maybe the week before or overlapping or something.
What happens to these articles, Peter? Where do they go?
The writers are all, they represent different magazines and different newspapers. I mean, it's a group of the Bay Area writers, travel writers.
And they guarantee that the article they write will be published?
Well, you know, I don't know if they can guarantee that there'll be an article written. You know, I don't know the back end of that.
I just want to know what they write an article and then what happens.
Well, what was discussed, Ed, was the fact that here's my apprehensions, and not apprehensions because we'd love to have you here, but we're talking about 10 people now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not 5 or 3, it's 10, and you know we can have as many as we want. Technically, and they said, "Well, no. What we can do is we can assign something, so they come here on an assignment. But you know, they go through the restaurants and the
I would think if it's an assignment,
well,
then
that's
be,
what I would want
would
to see that, they,
because
that something would come from their writing.
They're by being assigned. That means the editor or the owner has said, "I want you to write an article about this."
Right, and they'll do the survey within their own organization. So, I mean, we just want to see it happen anyway. But I don't know if there's some guidance. I mean, I'd love to hear from everyone here to see how we want to proceed with that and, you know, and go with the hotels and see who wants to participate.
Well, I mean, I think that certainly as a committee that we're all interested in as much publicity as we can get. So, I mean, if there's anything specific we could do to support that effort.
Maybe what I'll do is I'll just report next committee meeting, and then because I'll have a chance to meet them all, or at least talking to them again, because we have a local Tom Wilmer. Am I pronouncing his last name right? He's a well-known photographer and writer, and had a TV show, and he's the one who brought him in, and we had just a great day.
Good.
I would say whatever you could do is take advantage of it because that's a rare opportunity, and one that would come back to Morro Bay and. You know, five times over.
She's called me twice. She's very excited about coming back.
Great. Anytime you can get writers to come into town, we need to give them their all.
Yeah. Okay.
Terrific.
We'll find out.
Great. Thanks, Peter. Okay, declaration of future agenda items. So we have on there, we're continuing the trade show display. We're going to talk about the budget. And then there was one other one, isn't there?
You wanted to agendize. This is what I thought it was. Capture of information from business cards left at trade shows.
Oh, yes, yeah. That was it. Okay, perfect. Okay, any other future agenda items that anyone would like to add or discuss?
Do we want to keep the BID continuing
yes.
in case
yes.
there's just we want to bring up discussion mm-hmm. on that?
Yeah, we just want to keep that on there until it's solidified so we can talk about it if we need to, which I'm sure we will. Okay, well, I think that does it for this edition of the Morro Bay City Promotions Committee. Thanks, you guys. Have a good month.
Thank you.
Good
job. Good job. Yeah, look at this. You did. No poetry. I missed the poetry.
I know. Peter, I'm not a poet.